Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it's living and powerful, Lord, that it is eternal and unchanging, that you have magnified your word above all your name, Lord. That's an amazing thing. And Lord, when we pick up this book, we pick up life. Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. From Genesis to Revelation, Father, life. And we pray that you would just open your word to us, that you would be pleased to speak to our hearts, Lord, today as we study together. Help us to hear your heart, to sense your presence, Lord. Might your Holy Spirit guide us, Father. Might he be our teacher. Might we grow together in the knowledge and grace of Jesus. And then might we leave this place and go into a world that needs Jesus so badly. Help us, Father, to spread the message far and wide, to be the salt and light to which you've called us. And we ask that you would be glorified in all things, that your kingdom would be built, that Jesus would be seen, Father, and that your Holy Spirit would be active. And we ask it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Well, grab your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians. We looked at chapter 5 on Wednesday night, but I'd like to drop anchor in chapter 5 and just look at one single verse. It's verse 5 of chapter 5, Galatians 5, verse 5. And Paul declares, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Faith. Faith. What is faith? Well, faith is a lot of things, but we hear people talk a lot about faith. Oftentimes we hear people talk about blind faith. And usually it's the unbeliever when they're talking about our faith, being blind faith. But our faith is not that. It's not a blind faith. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It's substantive. It is substantial. It has material presence, if you will. The Amplified Bible kind of takes verse 5 and makes it bigger. And I like the way that it renders verse 5. We read, "For we, not relying on the law, but through the Holy Spirit's help, by faith, anticipate and wait for the blessing and good for which our righteousness and right standing with God, our conformity to his will in purpose, thought, and action causes us to hope." I mean, that's powerful. You see, faith matters. We see men and women of faith in the scriptures and through the church history. George Mueller, the man of faith, when he died, he had 50,000 journal entries in his prayer journal, all of which had been answered, but two. Two of those were answered after he died because he was praying for two of his friends that did not yet know Jesus. They came to know him after George Mueller died. 50,000, just think about that. Wow, that's amazing. Corrie Ten Boom, might be familiar with her, Tramp for the Lord. Her faith carried her through the Holocaust and being in the camps. Adoniram Judson and his wife, missionaries to Burma, pioneered missions there, and it was 5 years before they saw their first convert. Amazing. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, 26,000 employees and under 200,000 volunteers in 191 countries, truly a venture of faith. The old movement we've seen in our own midst, the movement, the Jesus movement, the movie that's currently out, Calvary Chapel, and a venture of faith as that generation, the hippies, were touched greatly by the Holy Spirit, with thousands being baptized there on the beaches of Southern California. And as we look at all of those people that walked in faith and saw God do great things, it should be an encouragement to us because we serve the same God. He's every bit as powerful now as he was through all of these other things. And we live in a time when we need to expect God to move. We need to be in that place where we're willing to reach out and to touch other lives. And Let God sort out the details. We may not see what he's doing, but the fact is he wants us to be ready. And as we see here, number one, faith is tangible. Faith is tangible. It's not some pie in the sky thing out there. Matter of fact, John in 1 John would declare that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. They saw Jesus, they touched Jesus, they walked with Jesus, and they gave us that testimony. Guys, we have something solid on which we can put our hands. We like those things which we can see and touch. I love wrapping my fingers around an In-N-Out burger, you know? It's substantial. It gives me great pleasure. And perhaps you too. So too, I can wrap my hands around this book. And it's tangible. It's solid. It's enduring. And it matters. Get to know your word. Get to know the Bible. Spend time with the Lord. As we heard earlier today, as we spend time with the Lord, invariably he will use that which he gives us to give to someone else. It isn't just about what we receive. We need to be conduits, not cisterns, you know, where we're just taking it in and never giving it out. God wants us to be those that give it out, you see, because we have not only this book which we can hold on to, but we have the cross. We see the cross in the scriptures, that which we can touch. It's a historical fact. We have testimony after testimony of the reality of the crucifixion of Jesus, of his death, of his burial, of his resurrection. All of those things are substantial in our lives. For us, you see, faith looks back to the cross. Faith looks back to the cross and realizes that the work was done there. So important for us to hang on to that and realize it and treasure it and read the words of Jesus as he was there on the cross. Sometime Google Jesus' last 7 words on the cross. Very interesting, those things which he said as he was bleeding and as he was dying. So important for us to know and understand. We look back on the cross because you see, our faith journey begins at the cross. When we're born again, all of a sudden things change. As we look on the cross, as we're born again, as we commit our life to Jesus. There's a picture of that back in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 21. The people had been complaining about the Lord's provision and fiery serpents went out among them. And Moses told Aaron, go out and take a pole and fashion a serpent and put the serpent on the top of the pole and elevate that pole. And when people look to that pole, they'll be saved, they'll be healed, they'll be touched. And that became a picture of what the Lord did for us. As we look to the pole, as we look to the cross, as we see the man, we realize that we can be saved. We can be born again, you see, because we have a solid faith. It doesn't ebb and flow. It's solid. It's established on bedrock. Our faith is time-tested. In the book of Hebrews, it says we've been surrounded by what? A great cloud of witnesses. The witnesses of Scripture, the witnesses that I mentioned earlier, the witnesses in our own families that passed on a godly heritage perhaps to us, that lived righteously before the Lord and told us the import of doing the same. So thankful for that great cloud of witnesses. So thankful for my parents and my grandparents as I think about them and as they cared for me and poured God's truth into my life and disciplined me when I was unruly and all the things that godly parents and grandparents do. You see, we have that great cloud of witnesses, but we also have a life-changing faith. Just think about your life. Think about my life before Christ and then after Christ and all the changes that have gone on. Amazing. That transformation process. The person you see now as a believer in Jesus Christ is totally different so often than what they were before Jesus. And it's so important for us to remember that. We're not frozen in time. It's not a static life. Everybody has a history. Everybody has left something behind. And I don't care if you were three or 30, when you were saved, you left something behind. For the three-year-old, it was just simply the sin of being self-centered, I suppose. Well, maybe 32, I don't know. But the point is that we left something behind and God began doing his molding and shaping work. The master potter put us on the wheel and began to work us and remove the impurities and full mold us and shape us into and the image, into the vessel that he wants us to be, so that we can be instruments in his hands to bring him glory, to see lives touched and changed. I so appreciate the Lord doing that work in our lives. Our faith is time tested. Our faith is solid. Our faith is life-changing. Our faith, guys, is exciting. Exciting. As we walk in faith, we never know what God's going to do, how he's going to show up in any given day and speak to us or speak through us. I love that when he does that, when he shows up and does his God thing, if you will, in our lives, and we just stand back and we marvel at that. It's just, I love it. And the Lord has done that in all of our lives at some point or another. If we're believers in Jesus Christ, if we stop and think about it, we realize that God has done amazing, miraculous things. So thankful for that. Our faith is tangible. Secondly, our faith is hopeful. I was reminded of that as we're sharing the prayer requests here, and we hear about someone who got to the place where they lost all hope and took their life. God has given you, he's given me, he's given us a tremendous gift in hope. In spite of all that we see around us in our world, we can be hopeful people because our God's still on the throne. He's not concerned about what's unfolding. He's not worried that it's not going to get taken care of. Our faith is hopeful. You see, as we look back at the cross in faith, what does it do? It propels us forward. Why? Because it gives us hope that there is something bigger than ourselves. Hope is necessary for life. I want to have that absolute certainty that I'm not the end of it, that I need to know someone is bigger than me that can handle those things which I know I can't handle. And I know that you want the same thing. Perhaps you came into this place today with a hopeless feeling in your life. Or perhaps you're dealing with a life-dominating sin that you wonder if you're ever going to have victory over it. And the Lord would say to you, to me, yes, because I'm bigger than that. I paid for that. On the cross, I've set you free. Who the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. I'm so thankful for that. Hope understands that the best is yet to come as we look forward. Life has been pretty good to us, if we're honest. He's given us so much in our lives. The place we live, the country of which we're citizens. From a material standpoint, he's blessed us greatly. And beyond that, he eclipses all of that with the spiritual gift of eternal life. That is awesome. The best, guys, is yet to come. Lay aside the hopelessness. Embrace the hope. Focus upon Philippians 4, 7, and 8. Thinking about those things which are good and honorable and of good report. All of those things he talks about there, Paul talks about in our lives, that's where we need to focus. I tend not to do that. I can be a very melancholy person, and perhaps you find yourself there. But when I find myself in that place, I'm reminded that Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to take you unto myself. Wow. Yes, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm ready. Except for wait just a minute, because I have someone I want to get saved, okay? I want them to go too. Well, the Lord's probably not gonna, he's probably not gonna wait on me, but you see what I mean? You see what I'm saying? We want Jesus to come quickly, but as we pray that very prayer, there's part of us that says, but God, wait just a minute, because I want to see that person join me in heaven. I don't want them to go through the tribulation. I don't want them to experience all that pain and suffering and death that's going to characterize that last 7 year period. Lord, I want them to experience the wedding feast of the Lamb. I want them to be with me. I want to join with them. Life is good, but guys, just wait. Wait. In the twinkling of an eye, no more sin, no more death, no more pain, no more suffering, no more doubt. The evil one is no longer part of the equation, and we are there with him, and that's all that will matter. That's all that's going to matter, guys, because hope looks for eternity. We have, every one of us has eternity in our hearts, with Jesus or without him. He made us to have an eternal need. Every individual on the planet is searching for a connection with a divine power, with something bigger than them. They'll go to a top of a mountain. They'll contemplate their navel. They'll do all sorts of things to try and find this power. And I marvel, the Jewish people are that way. They'll get out of their mandatory service and they'll go to Tibet, or they'll go to here, or they'll go to there. And they're on the very seedbed of God in Jerusalem, and in Israel. Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But people want to look everywhere else for it, but him, but him. We are born, guys, with a desire for heaven in our hearts, and only God can fill that void. True. And yet people wait. They deny. They just are not willing to acknowledge the need that they have and cry out in faith. And more and more, I'm compelled to go to Mark chapter 9 when people say, I just don't know. I just don't know. The man whose son was possessed was at a loss. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know. He wanted to believe, but he had trouble believing. Jesus said, do you believe? And he said, Lord, I believe. What? Help my unbelief. That's a worthy prayer for an unbeliever. Lord, I just right now, I don't have the faith to believe, but I want to believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Impart to me that faith, which I know you can give me, so that I can step across that threshold into the kingdom of light. It's a short prayer. I had a conversation yesterday with somebody that I care about, doesn't know Jesus. And I said, would you like to invite Jesus right now? Well, I have something on my mind right now that I'm kind of thinking about, apart from spiritual things. And I said, okay. I said, but just remember, if you ever come to that point, give me a call, and we'll do this together. But there's always something. There's a distraction. There's a relationship. There's a something, a job, whatever it happens to be. Those things are meaningless in light of eternity. They don't mean anything. But it's just a distraction that the evil one would bring in. So faith is tangible. Faith is hopeful. Guys, faith is useful. Faith is useful. We need to reflect on who God is and what he has spoken to us. This is his love letter to us. But let me tell you, God still speaks to us. He's given us his Holy Spirit within our hearts. You might call it a prompting. You might call it an impression. You might call it any number of things. But he will speak to us. Sometimes he will speak audibly. Now, there are people who deny that, but I can tell you from personal experience that God will speak audibly. He will. Years ago, I mean, I'm talking like Noah's Ark years ago. I had a phone call. And I hear these words, "You're a dead man." I can't tell you the fear that I experienced in that moment. But God spoke to me and he said, "You're going to be fine." When I had this amazing experience, it's like, have you ever had somebody just dump a bucket of warm water on your head? That's what happened to me. It's like the Holy Spirit just came upon me and I knew it was going to be fine. And it was. He took care of it. God speaks. God speaks. And he will speak to you. It may not be audible. I can't say that. I don't know that. If he chooses to do that, praise God. If he chooses it to do it through his word or by his Holy Spirit through a prompting or an impression, praise God. He's speaking. If you know Jesus, he's speaking. Every day he's speaking to you. It's just being willing to listen and to respond. Guys, we need to consider the bigness of God the Father. If he's big enough to create the universe, is he big enough to save you eternally, presently, daily? The answer is a resounding yes. We serve a big God. We see in the scripture his names, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Emkadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. And so much more. So much more. Get to know him. All of those things are working in your life. He sanctifies you as a believer in Jesus Christ. He gives you peace. He gives you healing. He gives you provision. He gives you everything. He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly before him. Check that out. No good thing. If I pray for something and I don't get it, God says what? No, that's not for you. That's not a good thing. But Lord, I want that boat. Whatever it is we're praying for. You see, the Lord knows. We need to reflect on him, but we also need to remember what Jesus did. Hang out in the Gospels. Get to know Jesus. He lived, he died, he was resurrected. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me right now. He's coming again. Jesus is on the move, guys, right now. He left an example for us to follow. Check this out. Powerful. Matthew declares, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." John 14, John said those words. We read, "I, Jesus, say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Matthew declared those words. Those are powerful promises. Too often we don't enter into them and claim them. Lord, help me not to fear the faces of men. I want to share my faith, but Lord, I'm afraid. We've all experienced that at some time or another. And the Lord would say to us, trust me, just step out and I'll part the waters. Step out and begin to share your faith and you will see me do great and mighty things. And he does. So thankful for that, you see. We need to rejoice, guys, that the Holy Spirit is working. He's working right now. He's ministering to each and every one of our hearts right now. About our relationship with him. Because you see, he is around us. That para experience, that alongside the paraclete we call the Holy Spirit. He is the one that comes alongside of us before Christ. And he ministers to us about our need for Christ. And then he changes that relationship, becomes in you. That relationship in you, the Holy Spirit in you. The word is in or in. He's in you. He's indwelt you. He's speaking to your heart. But there's a third. the P experience. He wants to come upon you. He's around you before Christ. He's in you after Christ. He comes upon you by invitation. We see it in Acts chapter 2, the coming upon of the Holy Spirit, that anointing that we're looking for. Lord, I want that anointing, Father. I want that empowerment. Lord, I want to use that for your glory, Lord. It's not about me. It's not about anything but you and the power that exists as you live your life through us, as you move with us by your Holy Spirit. Get to know the Holy Spirit. Lord, reveal your spirit. I know what your word says. It says that he will only speak of Jesus and the Father. It's not about him. It's not about glorifying the Holy Spirit. When we see people glorifying the Holy Spirit, we can immediately say, that is not true. The Holy Spirit will never glorify himself, and we should never glorify him either. We need to be aware of him. We need to talk about his power, though it's always in the context of Jesus Christ being exalted and the Father being glorified. Keep your focus upon Jesus. And in the scripture, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. Literally, Jesus is living within you. He's living within me. So we reflect upon God's bigness. We remember the work of Jesus. We rejoice in the Holy Spirit. You know, lastly, we need to see that faith is invisible. Oh, wait. When you started, you said faith was tangible. How can it be both? It can be both because we live in two realms. We live in the material realm, which is very real. Very real. But we also live in a spiritual realm, which is immaterial. Very unseen. Unseen. And in that sense, faith is invisible. When we have faith, as we see here, we can move mountains. Is he talking about a literal mountain? Well, maybe, but probably he's talking about the mountains of spiritual resistance that come upon us when we are serving. In the spiritual realm, when you're sharing Jesus with someone, you need to be acutely aware that there is a battle going on in the heavenlies for that soul in that moment, trying to keep that individual from coming to know Jesus. We need to know and understand that. That's why we need to have the armor in place. That's why we need to pray, Lord, open the eyes of the blind. Help them to see, Lord, spiritually speaking. Help them to understand what I'm sharing with them. You see, it is the natural versus the supernatural, and we need to be aware of both. Heaven is real. It's not just an imagination. The spiritual realm is real. It's not just an imagination. Jesus saw heaven. He came from it, and he returned to it. Paul saw heaven. He was caught up to the third heaven, and he saw amazing things. They were so amazing, he couldn't even tell us about them. God says, no. Hush. Hush, Paul. You're not to share what you saw. Because it would only make us desire to be off this planet sooner, you see. And so we look at that. We are headed for what Jesus saw and experienced and what Paul saw and experienced. We're going to see and experience one day. Whether it's through death's door, which is only graduation, for the believer, or whether it's through the rapture of the church, in which case we're going up together. Yay. I'm all for that. Let's go up together. Heaven is real. Heaven, guys, is there. Where's there? I'm not sure. Heaven's there, but heaven's also here. The kingdom of heaven is among you. You have Jesus living within you. He dwells in your heart. The one who holds the oceans in the palm of his hand resides in your heart. Whoa. That's why I need to get bigger. No, my wife says, no, you don't need to get bigger. You don't need to get bigger, Mark. You need to get smaller. God can figure out. He'll figure out how to fit in there. But he lives in our hearts, you see. I love that. He dwells in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for you and for me. He is our advocate. And he's there with the Father, and he's waiting. What is he waiting for? Go get him, son. Go get him. Go get your bride. It's a cloudy day. Could be today. He's coming in the clouds, guys. Are you ready? Are you ready for him to come? Are we occupying until he comes? We need to occupy until he comes, because, guys, if we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our destination is heaven. Our destination is heaven. No turning back. No turning back. Jesus said, I will come again. We should have that emblazoned on our hearts, settled in our minds. We need to meditate on that. And he said one further thing. He said, occupy till I come. Don't put on a white sheet and go sit by a river or circle the wagons in your church. You know, it's us four and no more. This building is nothing more than a launching pad. It is to equip us that we might go out into that world and share Jesus. That's our primary purpose. That's why you are here. That's why I'm here. And we do that, it says, occupy until I come. We do that in our profession, in our school life, whatever season of life we're in, we're living life. And I love living life, usually, unless I'm on the end of a shovel or something. But I love living life. I love being with you. I love being with my family. It's amazingly rewarding. But in that journey, God gives us this ability then, an opportunity to share him with others. We do it by how we live our lives. We do it by the words we speak and the actions we take. We do it purposefully. Live your life. I need to live my life purposefully. My purpose is to glorify Jesus. Jesus, might I glorify you today? Might I put a guard upon my lips and upon my eyes and upon my ears? And when I am tempted, Lord, I need to have victory. I want to have victory. Your word says where sin abounds, grace is much more abound. So I know, Lord, that I do not have to fall to that sin, to that temptation. So, so important to realize that victory is won. And if I fall or if I succumb to that thing, it is not because he did not give me the grace to turn away. It's because I chose. Lord, I want to see how close I can get without falling. Or Lord, it's just once. Or whatever the rationalization goes on in our head. This last week, guys, I had a horrible battle going on in my life, just personally. Horrible. And I was just talking to the Lord about it, and it just was unrelenting. And I woke up this morning in the middle, early this morning, and I'm just thinking, God, will this ever stop? And the answer is yes, but when? Heaven. It will stop in heaven. Until that time, that battle is going to continue. And we all have a different battle. We all have that with which we contend. It's different in our lives. That thing that challenges us in our faith, in our walk. And you know, invariably what we find is that God is preparing to use us for something. And because he's preparing to use us for something, the evil one's doing what he can to disqualify us from being used. So take heart. If you're really under it, God's getting you ready. Can I hear praise the Lord? We need to remember it is a battle. It is, but it's worth it. And one day we will be so, so blessed as we stand before Jesus and hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Faith is so important in our lives. Let's exercise our faith together, shall we? And God will do great things. He wants to do great things in these days, and he wants to use you and me for that purpose. So let's get on board. Let's pray. Father, so grateful to you. So grateful to you, Lord, for your loving kindness in our lives, for your patient work in our lives, for your forgiving ways in our lives, Lord. So grateful that you've given us promise after promise of victory in Jesus. And Lord, I know that you're working on our hearts, each one of us, Father, at various levels. I pray that we would hear and respond to your promptings, Lord. Might we leave this place today knowing that we have done business with the God of heaven. Use us, Lord. Use us for your glory in the days ahead, individually and corporately, Father. We just bless you and we give you all praise and glory and honor. And I pray indeed that the Lord would quicken your hearts, that he would fill you afresh with himself, that he would give you the faith to believe, whether it be for salvation eternally or salvation daily. Might you experience that fullness of presence. Might the Holy Spirit surround you and draw you near. And I ask it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And if you need prayer, please feel free.